Sitka Sound is home to the largest herring biomass remaining in southeast Alaska, and recently the state has calculated that biomass this spring to be the largest on record. Those records really don't go back very far, however, only to the 1970s, and subsistence harvesters who lay hemlock branches in shallow waters near Sitka each spring in the hope that they'll be coated with a thick layer of eggs say this large biomass of herring has been forced into less accessible areas under pressure from the commercial seine fleet. Biologist Kyle Rosendale works for the Sitka Tribe of Alaska. He explained to the board how you can have a high abundance of herring, but a poor subsistence harvest in Sitka Sound.
We are talking a lot about biomass because that's sort of our only actionable metric at this time in this fishery. But I think there's a lot more nuance with some of this spatial data that ADF&G has been collecting over time. That show, you know, as we've sort of had this contraction in the duration of spawn and sort of this westward migration in the spawn, it's really hard for folks to make sure they have places where there are three consecutive days of spawn to harvest the good quality and quantity of eggs.
A number of Sitka's tribal citizens traveled to the Anchorage meeting to press the point that despite the high abundance of herring, the subsistence fishery was failing. Pete Karras, Jr. drew an analogy for the board.
Even while I was being carried in my mother's womb, I was eating herring eggs. So it's been in our culture for many years. And it is our right. It is our way of life. And I think if the tables were turned and you had your refrigerators, your freezers, your food cabinets locked, and you could not get into them unless I said that you could, that is what you were doing. And it is just unacceptable.
Karras also thought that state management was pushing herring stocks dangerously close to collapse. The reason Sitka herring are so prized is because stocks elsewhere in the region have been depleted, some while being managed by the state.
If your eyes are closed, open them, because it doesn't take rocket science to figure this out. If you put this problem between 9 and 10-year-old children and you ask them the same questions that we're asking each other today, they would say, stop fishing.
Imposing a moratorium on the commercial herring fishery is not a radical idea. The Alaska Native Sisterhood, in fact, passed a resolution urging the state to do exactly that. Daphne Albee, ANS Grand President, reminded the board of her organization's position.
The Sitka Sound herring stock, one of the last within the state of Alaska, provides a viable cultural food harvest of herring eggs for Indigenous people that is shared throughout the same Alaska and lower 48 communities that we represent. According to ADF&G, the amount of necessary egg harvest for the Indigenous peoples have not been met for 9 out of the last 10 years.
But a moratorium on commercial fishing would shut down a multi-million dollar harvest and create an economic ripple effect beginning with the 47 active permit holders in the fishery to the tenders, processors, and communities which support them. Julianne Curry is a second-generation herring seiner from Petersburg who's been active in commercial fishing advocacy her entire life. She cautioned the board against rash decisions.
I'm a subsistence and a personal use harvester, and my business is fully dependent on sustainable fisheries management. I'm proud of my fishing heritage and my way of life, and I'm even more proud of Alaska's reputation of having the best managed fisheries in the world. I've been an advocate in the regulatory process for sustainable commercial fisheries since 2006, and I've spent a lot of time working on herring issues and past border fish cycles. In that time, and as my time as a harvester, I've learned that one thing is true. Biomass always fluctuates. Ups and downs don't signify a stock collapse or a collapse of the resource, and we can't manage fisheries based on strictly on a what-if scenario.
The board may have found valuable insight from some of Sitka's tribal elders who carry a memory of herring far beyond the beginning of state management and even beyond statehood. In territorial days, herring reduction plants were common throughout southeast Alaska. Consequently, the state government inherited a herring population that had been driven into serious decline. Harvey Kitka told the board that basing today's high abundance on a baseline set in the 1970s created a false impression that Sitka herring were thriving.
When they took the baseline figure back in, oh, in the 70s, they used that as a baseline. That was a far cry from what it was back when we first became a state. When we first became a state, we were still able to harvest eggs almost anywhere in Sitka Sound, because the whole sound would turn white. And there was a lot of places where we had our own private places to set branches. Now we're competing for a tiny spot. And sometimes it's really hard to get the quality of eggs that we need. There's so much that we've been competing for eggs over the years.
Kitka's testimony resonated with at least one Board of Fish member, John Wood of Willow.
Mr. Kitka, you hit something that was on my mind, not only in relationship to the herring industry, but also to salmon throughout the regions. And that is what I call shifting baselines. Because when I came on the board, I was under the impression that part of our responsibility was to restore stocks to their historic levels. And you hit on that today. You, sir, are a treasure in that you go back to actual active harvesting, back to time before statehood.
Kitka stayed at the testimony table for 15 minutes, answering board members' detailed questions about subsistence practices in Sitka, how many days branches are left in the water, how thick a coating of eggs was desirable. When asked what he would recommend to solve the problem in Sitka, Kitka replied, "Fish conservatively." Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.